In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel from St. Matthew provides for us a very vivid understanding of the end times and the signs that indeed will accompany it. And of course, as the Lord himself makes very clear, he provides this to us beforehand in order that we might be prepared. He wants us to see and know the signs, and in seeing them and knowing them, understand that which will come immediately after. But if one understands that then at the moment that the signs become manifest, that's when you begin your preparation, you will not be one of the elect. That is not the time to prepare yourselves, but rather to be aware of what is about to happen, because you have been prepared for that particular moment. And in truth, therein lies what the Lord constantly says to us in sacred scripture: be on guard, be ready, be prepared. There's a constant disposition in which we need to be that ultimately is not even determined by the signs themselves. Whether they come or not, whether they are present or not, whether we see them or not, we still need to be in a disposition, a posture such that we are prepared for whatever it will be, whenever it comes, however it might manifest itself. And in this way, when we approach the Gospel from St. Matthew, or the book of Revelation, which gives us even more details as to what the end times might indeed look like, we don't find ourselves overwhelmed or scared, frightened or fearful or anxious, because we know that whenever it happens, however it might come, we are ready, forearmed, well prepared by the manner in which we live our lives. And so the question that always rests before us is then, how does one prepare himself? What must we do? And that answer, brothers and sisters, has also been given to us. It only becomes complicated because we make it complicated. We know of what the Christian life consists and how we grow in holiness and spirituality. Our commitment to the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, daily prayer, the recitation of the Rosary and relationship with our Blessed Mother, time before our Eucharistic Lord, and seeking day in and day out to live lives of virtue, especially with those with whom we do actually live and those we love and those who profess to love us. Welcoming strangers and those known to us alike, forgiving those who harm us, and welcoming our enemies not only into our homes, but into our hearts. This is the Christian dispensation. It always has been, and it always continues to be. So this is what you must do. And in truth, not find yourself overly concerned about all the things that are swirling around you. I know I give a great deal of emphasis on the world out there and the world in here and us against them mentality. But in the final analysis, what we must do, what is incumbent upon all of us, is to day in and day out live our Catholic lives. What other people do, how they go about doing it, as much as we might want to poke our nose into that tent, or we might want to see the whole world transformed, or it might be easier for us if indeed everybody was doing the exact same thing at the exact same moment. It has never been that way. I don't know why we assume that there were easier times, better, more idyllic times. It had always been a struggle, a difficulty to live rightly our Catholic faith in the world. This age has some particularities to it. But the particularities are just that, particularities, oddities to the particular age. But as far as what must be done and how we go about doing it, that has not changed, nor will it ever change. And with that comes a great deal of peace and surety and security, because you don't have to worry about all the things that are going on around you, or fix all the problems that are laid before your feet, or solve all the great issues that exist in the world. The degree to which God gives us grace and sets us indeed on a path to respond to these things, then according to his will and his design, that is exactly what we do. If he calls us to put out into the deep in a particular way, that is precisely what we do. But until he calls us, we know of what our life consists, and therefore we need to go about doing it. A few days ago, I was in a very kind of intense conversation with some very good friends of mine. I spend a great deal of time with these friends, and so our conversations go from the sublime to the ridiculous. This particular part of the conversation was on the side of sublimity. And as it so often does, we turn to our lives of faith, our lives in the church, and the manner in which we respond to things in the church. And it was a good, spirited conversation, which oftentimes we have. As I left that conversation, went home, and reflected upon it on the next day, I realized a phrase that kept coming back to me, that we must admit defeat in order to be victorious. It seems contradictory, counterintuitive, goes maybe against our American sensibilities where we believe we can fix everything and solve every problem. But maybe we need to admit that our place in the world and where we find ourselves now, we have been defeated. Not on a grand, if you will, eschatological stage, but our place in this country, in this time, at this moment. But it's precisely at that moment, if we can admit defeat in Christ, that we can likewise claim victory. This is, after all, the mystery of the cross, is it not? At that precise moment when everyone around him, including his disciples who had abandoned him, believed that the project that our Lord had preached for 3 years had come to this infamous ending. But what does the church teach us? What does our faith tell us? That on the cross of Christ, from which his side blood and water flowed, the life of Christ, the life of the church, was born. In that moment of defeat, there was the greatest victory, and we continue to prosper in that victory. As I reflected on our conversation, I reflected on that phrase, I was overcome truly with a great deal of peace. I want to solve all the world's problems. And I mean that. I want to solve all the world's problems. Now, I believe also that I have the capacity to solve all the world's problems, which is my first mistake. The second mistake is assuming that the world needs me to solve all of its problems. Well, God will take care of all of that. If I can let go of all of those things, if I can do the things that are immediately in front of me, the things over which I do indeed have genuine control, if I can live rightly in the sight of God with other men, then indeed the things that God wants to accomplish will happen according to His design. This is a beautiful and fitting reflection for us. We know, of course, this is the last Sunday of this year of grace and favor. A new year of grace and favor begins next Sunday. As I have said to you in the past, this is our new year, not the 1st of January. So what resolutions are you going to make? And how will your life concretely be different? These are not speculative or rhetorical questions, but I encourage you to ask them, answer them with God, and answer them in this context. Not, I'm going to save the world this year. This will be the year that I've successfully conquered all sin, not on my own, but everybody else's sins. You've already failed. Maybe just for this year, what you will focus on is being a good Catholic man, woman, in your home, in your life, and let that be the means by which the world will be transformed. And then indeed, if these are the end times, and there certainly seems to be several of these signs that would indicate that these might be the end times, your approach won't be, oh my goodness, I'm not ready, and at that point it'll be too late. Instead, it will be, Lord, your will be done. Final thought. To be very clear, this is not an easy task, and nor do I want you to believe that in me preaching it to you, it can be easily accomplished. But it is something that can be accomplished with God in our Lord. All that you must do is cooperate with the abundant graces that are present to us and given to us, the graces of this holy sacrifice, the graces of the sacraments that you have received, and the abundant natural graces that God bestows upon us on a daily basis. The more we live his life, the more disponible we are to the very graces that he bestows upon us. And so you know what it is that you must do, and you know how you need to go about doing it. Prepare yourselves for the coming of our Lord, whether that be tomorrow or 1,000 years hence or any time in between. And do so by having confidence in him and in his words and in his truth and in himself who is present to us and in no one else, in nothing else. No false prophets, no false Christ, no lies to lead you away. Truth incarnate, him and him alone. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.